I'll start with something I don't normally do, and that is the song Hosanna. I don't know a lot of the songs, but as I was watching the words, there's one word that sort of thought, that doesn't seem right. Staring. I think it's supposed to be starting, so somebody better check the original. It just didn't ring a bell. There's another old, young old friend from the church in Manhattan that's here. Maybe he's introduced himself before, I'm not sure, because he said he's been here for a couple of weeks. Kevin, could you just sort of introduce yourself and your wife and daughter?
I'm Kevin Watson, my wife Susie, my daughter.
Now, the verse that was read from Jeremiah 22, I have it different, and I like my version better. Oh, earth, 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 hear the voice of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. Land, land, land just doesn't do it for me. Sorry. Imagine that you were... What?
It's not my translation.
I know. Imagine that you were somewhere back near the beginning of time, to mankind's beginning at least, and you were on an outing with some of your friends. You were thoroughly enjoying your outing, excuse me, when suddenly a booming voice comes down from the heavens, almost like thunder, but very clear in what it's saying. It says this, beginning now, unless you operate according to my rules, and unless you respond to me with proper respect, I will pour out my vengeance on you. And then the voice quits. Everyone is really, really frightened by this, and it doesn't take the group long before they respond to this compelling voice from the heavens. We'll do anything you say. Just tell us what you want. Tell us your rules. Tell us how to respect you, and we'll be quick to obey what you have said. But there's no response from the heavens. Silence. And soon everybody wonders, well, maybe we just all heard something and thought it was it. Maybe it's sort of like, what do they call it? A group hallucination or something. But then when they go home, all the radios and the TVs have one topic, the voice. The voice was heard everywhere. It wasn't just your little group. It was everyone. And everyone responded the same way, we'll do anything you say. But there was no further communication from the voice. People wait and wait and wait, and yet there is nothing but silence from the heavens. And eventually some people begin to die. And everyone asks, I wonder if the reason they died is because they have offended the voice. Maybe it's not a natural occurrence. Did they break some of the rules? If so, which ones did they break? Was it because this person washed his hair at the wrong time? You know, Chinese before the New Year, or maybe you don't know those things, but there's certain things you cannot or must do at certain times before the New Year. Maybe she broke tradition by going to college. Maybe that's the reason that this happened to her. Is this part of the vengeance of the voice? But no one knows for sure. Some children are born blind, some are born handicapped. Is this simply a natural occurrence, or is it because of something that they have done to offend the voice? If it's for breaking the rules, then who broke the rules? Was it the parents? Was it some ancestor? Was it the newborn itself, or himself, or one of the siblings? Who did this? An earthquake strikes and kills a lot of people. Is this a natural occurrence, or is this the vengeance of the voice for something that someone or all of us have done? But the voice remains silent. It gives no answers to their questions. So people begin to make up rules that they think the voice would like, must mean. Rules of conduct. And they do that because they are interpreting events that are happening in their lives and in the lives of others. This has happened. This must be a rule that's been broken by the from the voice. If they think that the baby's blindness was caused by the mom eating forbidden tomatoes, or maybe the father's failure to offer the proper sheep at the right time, they make taboos and regulations concerning what they think the voice might be telling them through these events. Some think that proper respect for the voice means to sacrifice the most perfect child in the community on a particular day of the year. Now, this has really happened in times past in cultures. Others think that showing proper respect for the voice means that probably on May 1 or something, that they should all go up to the mountains and put on their headphones and hum, "On a clear day you can see forever," or something of that nature. Rules begin to pile on top of rules on top of rules, and religious practices just abound all over the place, but they're not the same from one place to another because people are interpreting things in different communities by different events and different ideas. And they begin to insist on them in society. This is the way it has to be. No one really knows, though, about the voice. No one knows. What does everyone need in this predicament? They need the voice to speak again, right? Otherwise, we just make up rules and ideas. The voice needs to tell them how they can demonstrate proper respect. What are the rules? The voice needs to tell them. Without these crucial revelations coming directly from the voice and not from somebody else, the only alternative for people is to continue using their own imagination, making up rules and regulations all over the place. Now, we need to be eternally grateful that the voice from beyond this universe has spoken, and he has spoken very clearly. God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth, has spoken clearly to us, and very specifically to all of mankind, not just to one part of it. And he has spoken in common language, not in some angelic language or something that only certain people say they can understand and tell you what it means. He has spoken in our common language so that we cannot misunderstand what he has said. To make everything even more clear to us, he has spoken to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, the one who came and walked among us, who loved us and died for us. So the fact is, God has spoken. And this needs to get out throughout the world. The God who really is, the one who really exists, has spoken. And he has spoken everything that needs to be said. It cannot be added to. There's nothing more needs to be known. There's a lot maybe we would like to know, but there's nothing more needs to be known because God has spoken. And because he has spoken to us in clear language, we must be very earnest and hear and listen to, give heed to, the voice of the God who has spoken. The God of the whole human race, the whole universe, has spoken his word to all of mankind, the whole human race. He has spoken his word of salvation, as well as his word of damnation to those who ignore what he has said. So everyone, every individual should listen very carefully to his voice. Eternal damnation or eternal life rests with the power of his voice. Anyone who chooses can clearly hear what God has spoken through his book, the Bible. The problem is, most of humanity and a lot of those who claim to be Christians, I live in a community where almost everybody would claim to be a Christian. The problem is they have gone to church enough in their youth or something to get inoculated against the real thing. So they're almost immune to ever really coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior because I got baptized. I'm a Christian. I went to church when I was a kid. I like working in the New York City community because nobody would come and say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, unless they really were. Most people don't bother to listen to the voice of God. God wants everyone to listen, though, and to hear his voice. So he says through Jeremiah, oh earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Listen to it. This is both a plea and a command. What right does God have, though, to offer us or issue us a command to hear his voice? What right does he have? By the right of who he is and what he is, he is the sovereign God, the creator and lord of all the universe and everything beyond our universe, things that we don't even know anything about. He is the creator of that, too. He stretched forth his hands, it says, and uttered his voice, and worlds came into being. The whole universe came into being through his voice. This voice of God is absolute. When our culture talks about gambling and drinking and premarital sex and divorce, it says, well, you know, it all depends. We have to be tolerant of everything. That was a long time ago, they say, of the Bible. And things have changed. Society has changed, and we have to change with it. That's no longer relevant. We don't think that way anymore, is their response. And we American Christians must be especially careful in this area because we live in a society that worships change. And I really mean that. We worship change. I hesitate to say this, but understand what I mean. I love these contemporary songs. But hymns are almost a thing of the past because we love change. And hymns are in the past. I'd say hang on to the good ones and drop some of the ones that aren't so good. Anyway, if anything stays the same for a year or more, we think it's out of date, no longer relevant, unfashionable. You can't buy anything these days that's going to last more than a year in clothing until they change it, so you have to buy more. We welcome every innovation and every novelty and technology and ideas. If it's change, it must be good. That's sort of the idea. Incidentally, I think that I've heard that word in connection with our political candidates these days. Change, change, change. That helps people to just say, oh yeah, yeah, if we're going to progress and be better, we got to change. We're proud of our independence. We resist and resent and ultimately rebel being ordered around. This is particularly true in America. But God speaks in absolutes. Thou shalt not. When he speaks, he doesn't have to use possiblys or maybes or perhapses. What he speaks is totally and forever true. It's fixed in the heavens and it cannot be changed by a human being no matter what we think. Nothing and no one shall make even an incremental little bit of a change in what God has said. He doesn't change his mind simply because the gay community or women's lib or the abortion mills or the political stances demand him to change. He will remain the same and his word remains the same, and we better know it. When God Almighty speaks, he doesn't expect us to decide whether we will listen to what he has said. The voice is absolutely true. We cannot judge the voice. The voice, in fact, judges us. That's just the way it is. God's word, his voice, is absolute truth. It's as high above the heavens as the heavens, high above our ideas as the heavens are above the earth. Our modern world thinks that truth is a result of surveys and statistical averages. That's how we arrive at a lot of the things that we call facts, actually. And that's the reason that facts change so often. His word is vastly superior to this kind of facts collected and observed by our scientific world, because facts, the interpretation of those things, keep changing. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. Coffee is bad for you. Oh, a few years later. No, we found out that coffee in reasonable amounts is good for you. The ozone layer. Oh, it's vanishing. Disaster lies ahead. A few years later, no, we've discovered that the ozone layer replenishes itself. Oh, no, later on. We discovered that the ozone layer is getting thinner and thinner. We're really in trouble. The 1970s, I may have said this before here, big articles. The new ice age is coming. What is it today? Global warming is going to kill us all. A few years from now, it'll be something else. Science speaks about observable facts, which they think they've discovered. We can be glad that it does, but their interpretation of the facts has a tendency to change over the years. Science speaks about facts, right? But further observation of things finds out that the facts we were talking about weren't exactly right. So now we have to change the facts. God's word, though, is never changing. It's true, absolutely true. Let me read something that A.W. Tozer wrote one time. Science can measure you, weigh you, observe how your body works, and write it all down for you. She can follow you to your bed and watch you die. And by means of various instruments, she can discover which parts of your body die first. Then science can follow you to the grave and watch as you decompose and turn back to dust again. But that's all science can do. Observe and write down what they see. The word of the Lord brings us truth from beyond the realm where science has any way to observe and to collect information. It brings us truth beyond the realm where philosophy and speculation tries to answer the questions that mankind has. That's because the voice of the Lord deals with absolute truth, unchanging truth. God's truth tells us a lot about this physical world and about how it came into being and things like that. But it tells us also about body and mind and spirit, or soul and spirit. It tells us the importance of the soul. What good will it do to you, he says, if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? God's truth tells us of the dangers of loving things in this world. Through the Apostle John, he says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lusts of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The voice of truth then tells us what's on the other side of the curtain of death. Science tries to tell us, but there's no way to observe. The Word of God tells us what's on the other side of the curtain. No man can take his magnifying glass and discover absolute truth. It must be revealed from the Creator, the voice who speaks from the heavens. Jesus claimed that he not only knew the truth and told the truth, he said, "I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," is what he said. The Lord's voice is very creative. He said, "Let there be light," and the light burst forth in the glory of the dawn. The voice spoke to Lazarus, "Come forth." And Lazarus came out from the grave. The dead returned to life. The voice still speaks words to souls who are dead in trespasses and sins and says, "Come out and awake to life eternal." And those who respond to the voice find that they came out from the life of sin, which leads to death, and into life eternal. The voice speaks to the lost, and they are saved. Now, the voice of the Lord is preeminent. That word, in case you're wondering, means it takes precedence over anything and everything else. So the voice of the Lord takes precedence over every other voice that has ever spoken or ever will speak. And there are a lot of voices that are speaking to us. Much of humanity listens to all these voices that are resounding around us. I always marvel at the fact that in this room are voices from a dozen or so radio stations, and voices from television stations. They're all here. We just don't hear them. Much of this world, you know, we're just jammed with voices, some we hear and some we don't, that are calling us to things, and they promise things. They promise power and style and sophistication and freedom. Millions of people, a lot of Christians among them, have been conned into believing that this life is, and the niceties that we can have here, are all that there is. Or at least they're convinced that the kind of God that they believe in encourages them to go ahead and collect all the niceties and put them on the shelves of their homes and wherever. And the rationale for some of them is this: after all, don't we need to get accustomed to real good stuff, because once we get to heaven, we're really going to have the real classy stuff there. So we need to get used to this. So magazines on fashion and style and home redecorating and sports are all proliferating because their voices calling to us, "Come, get in with the, you know, get in with the crowd, get up to date, make changes." We Christians must focus hard to remember that the voice of the Lord is preeminent over all of these other voices that keep calling to us for whatever. The voice of the Lord is the voice of the sovereign God. He never comes asking us what we think. He comes telling us who he is and where we came from and what we should be doing. It does not seek a consensus of opinion. It comes commanding obedience. The voice of truth goes farther and offers forgiveness to those who have committed sin, and to create right things in their hearts. If we'll turn our ears from the babble of this world, and if we listen to the voice that speaks from outside the world, we'll learn truths that we cannot find out any other way. We can't hear the preeminent voice of God while the sounds of all the pop music and drugged up celebrities assault our ears. I was going to start naming current day pop singers, but I realize I'm out of it. The only one I know, and that's only for teeny boppers I understand, is Hannah Montana. I've never heard her, but I read. We can't hear God's preeminent voice with the sounds of varying political pronouncements and everything else bouncing us from one position to another, or with the bottom line, how can I fulfill my personal destiny approach of the Harvard Business School. We can't hear God's preeminent voice with all the psychobabble and sociological doublespeak of our modern world. Now let me give you an illustration of this psychobabble. When I was a kid, we didn't have television when I was a young kid. It wasn't here yet. But what we now call couch potatoes. Well, when I was young, we had those kind of people, but they didn't sit and watch television. They did other things. And they wouldn't allow us to take care of them. You know what we call them? We label them lazy. The lazy label puts a burden on them to get off their lazy backsides and get to work and do something constructive. But now, guess what psychobabble has done? They've switched the labels. These people are now labeled unmotivated. And they're off the hook. Now it's our burden to help find out ways to motivate these poor, damaged people. I like lazy better. But, you know, what I'm illustrating that to say that much of our world has switched labels on things, confused us, and if we don't know the Word of God and keep our nose in it, we get all sidetracked on all these other things. We have to get our eyes and ears off this world's conflicting voices long enough to hear the voice that speaks from beyond the universe and speaks to us and to tell us the way things really are. If we tune out the babble of the world, we can hear the voice of God as He speaks to us through his word. But that means getting into the Bible, number one, studying it, memorizing it, so that we can hear God's assessment of things. We'll learn truths that can save us, truths that can heal our wounds, and truths that can transform our lives. When we do that, when we get into the Word of God, here's what we'll hear, some of the things. A word of condemnation. My first pastor, when I first became a Christian, he says, you know, one of the problems is you got to get a lot of people lost before you can get them saved because they already think they're okay. So you got to get them lost first. The word of condemnation comes clearly through the Bible. The soul that sins, it was I. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that sort of leaves all of us in the pit. The wages of sin is death. There's a word of condemnation. We learn our own utter bankruptcy and our own inability to do anything about the dilemma that we find ourselves in. But then we can hear a word of invitation. Jesus said, come unto me. Come and find forgiveness, salvation. Come and find rest for your souls. Come and find grace and forgiveness. We can also hear a word of forgiveness and healing. In Isaiah, the Lord says to us, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. So there's a word of forgiveness. If we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. If we confess our sins, it is right for him, and he is faithful and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we listen to the voice speaking from heaven through his word, we'll also hear a word of instruction. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And there's plenty in the word of God to tell us how to walk. Whatever you do, he says in another place, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. You want something that will transform the way you will do your schoolwork or your work at your job or anywhere else? will transform anything you do. Quit thinking, I'm doing this so I can get a good grade. I'm doing this for my teacher. Or at work, that I'm doing it to keep peace with the boss or to keep my job. We do not work for men. We do not do our homework or anything else strictly for human beings. We do our work as though we're doing it for Jesus Christ himself, and that transforms the way we do a lot of things in our lives. So there's a word of instruction. Now, the question, how are you responding to this voice that speaks from beyond the heavens? Do you listen to the voices of this world with all their conflicting offers and let them drown out the voice of truth? Does your fascination and involvement in loud clashing noises and flashy kind of glitter in this world, does it make you deaf and blind to the voice of Almighty God? Do you get so involved with the insistent voices of this world that you can have no time to listen carefully to the voice which speaks to you from outside the universe? Do you ignore his invitation to salvation? Maybe some here that have. That he's saying, come to me. And you're saying, I prefer it to keep you at a distance. Do you care enough to spend equal time with God, with the voice of truth, and learn the lessons that God has for you? We need to do that. It's more important than anything else that you can acquire in life, that you can accomplish in life, or that you can accumulate. So Jeremiah, the Lord says through him, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. So I urge you to listen to the voice of the Lord call you by name, saying, I hope there's nobody here by the name of George or Nell, but, you know, to speak to you with your name and say, hear the word of the Lord, and respond to that. That's what we all need to do. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have provided for us a way of knowing this voice that speaks from the heavens and knowing what you want and who you are and what you're like. We thank you that you have spoken to us in common language so that we can understand. And you have it written down so that it doesn't need to be passed by word of mouth from generation to generation with all the problems and miscommunication that that can give. But it's written down carefully that we all may have access to it. Help us, Lord, to really cherish what you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.